Hebrews chapter 10, and we're going to read verses 32 to 39. My text verse is verse 35. Verse number 35, cast not away therefore your confidence. And the name of the sermon is, don't cast away your confidence. Don't lose your confidence. Your confidence as a Christian determines your service and your faithfulness. Your confidence in God's Word says that God's Word is right. Your confidence in preaching says we hear preaching because this is what God's chosen to salvage people. Preaching is important. In other words, why do you go to a church where there's preaching instead of lecturing or something like that? We believe in preaching because that's God's method. That's what God's told us to do in the Bible. That's our confidence. Your confidence in soul winning and passing out tracts and telling others about the Lord. Your confidence says, I do it because it's a command for every Christian. Your confidence is very important. Here in verse 35, it says that. What does the word, I know you know what confidence means, but I love looking at definitions. Listen to this. The word confidence means the mental attitude of trusting in or relying on a person or thing. Confidence means firm trust. It means reliance. It means faith. Confidence is a feeling sure or certain of a fact or issue. God says, cast not away, therefore, your confidence. In studying for this, Proverbs 28:1 says this, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. That means a saved child of God should be bold. A saved child of God should have freedom of speech because of his confidence in God's Word. In other words, I don't wonder if I'm right. And I realize Satan can tempt you and can say, well, you know, what if other religions are right or whatever? That means your confidence is low. That means your confidence in God's Word is low. No, I know I'm right because of what the Bible says, and I believe the Bible. Do you understand? I try to preach to you truth that's not unique to Gospel Light Baptist Church. If I die, the Bible's still true. It still says what it says. It's not because I said anything. It's because that's what the Bible says, and that's what our confidence is supposed to be in. When the children of Israel were in bondage of Egypt, God handled Pharaoh with no problem. When God used Babylon to judge his people, God handled Nebuchadnezzar with no problem. During the earthly ministry of Jesus, Herod never made God nervous. As much as he tried to destroy Jesus and all of that, I realized that politics and spirituality run parallel to each other in our country. As America thrives spiritually, God allows her to thrive politically. But listen closely. There is no problem in Washington or any issue this morning that America faces that should cause you to lose or cast away or give up your confidence. I'm glad President Trump is our president, and I'm concerned that if Jesus tarries, the liberalism that will come in after him is going to be dark. But all that is history repeating itself. Have you watched what happens every time a liberal president comes in? Bill Clinton, right? And then a conservative comes in, right? But it doesn't go back as high as it was. Then Obama's in, and it goes deeper. Now President Trump's in, and I think he's righting a lot of wrongs. I'm glad, but what I'm concerned about, when his one or two terms are done, Jesus tarries. The darkness that's going to follow him is going to be darker than Hillary, because there's a crowd that's coming on the scenes. Enjoy it while we got it, amen? We better enjoy the freedom. You better serve God while you can. Better serve God while you can. President Trump is righting a lot of wrongs that have been done in our country, and it's going to stir up evil on CNN, ABC, NBC, CBS, and all of that. Makes it hard to avoid politics. I realize that. But I've never had any confidence in the government anyways. You understand? All history shows me is history repeats itself, and all you learn from history is that men don't learn from history. That's why my confidence has never been in the White House. It's never been in the government. My confidence has never been in men. The best of men are men at best. And man in his best state is altogether vanity. Listen to these verses here. It says here, Psalm 118, it says, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in men. The next verse says, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Proverbs 3:26 says, the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Proverbs 14:26 says, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children have a place of refuge. I love this verse, Isaiah 26, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. In the New Testament, two verses, just listen, Ephesians 3:12 says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. 1 John 2:28 says, and now, little children, abide in him, abide in Christ, that when he shall appear, one day at the rapture, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Jesus told us three times, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. I know this morning I have the truth. I have the King James Bible. I've got God's preserved word. And everything else that I see in this world is going to burn up. My car, my house, everything that you can see is going to burn up except this book and the souls you lead to Christ. Right? Isn't that wonderful? My heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall not pass away. We should be as confident as any Christian in any age. Just because you know people with hard hearts this morning doesn't mean God is limited. God is still saving sinners. God is still working in the hearts of any Christian who will let him work. God is still changing lives. God hasn't run out of power. The Holy Ghost hasn't run out of salvation. God's arm is not suddenly shortened that it can no longer save. God built churches in the founding days of our nation. And God is still building churches today. God is still working. The government was very oppressive back then when our country started. Our government, the colonies, before America was founded, they whipped people. They hung people for what they believed. Hundreds. You were put in jail if you didn't pay the church tax. Baptists went to jail in Virginia, just right across the river here. Tens and 20 at a time. The preachers would preach from the jail grates. Their congregations would gather outside the jail. And then the preacher, they'd raise up a flag, and they'd put a flag on a pole, and they'd raise it up, and they'd say, we're ready for preaching. But because their pastor was in jail, then he'd preach. The Bible says. And if he could reach the gates, he'd reach his arms through the gates, and the people outside would see their pastor's arms outside the gates. That was standard. That was standard before America became a nation. Until our nation set up a republic with a constitution and a bill of rights. I think the government has been bad under Bill Clinton. I think the government has been bad under Obama. But it has never been nothing like when God used and gave revival and grew churches in our nation in the 1700s. You wouldn't cast away your confidence if you'd stay in your Bible and read it and let it help you think. If you're using CNN, ABC, and CBS to help you think instead of the Bible, I got news for you. You're going to lose confidence. I think it's amazing the corruption that's being revealed in our country. I hope a lot of people go to jail over that memo that's being released. It amazes me how much crime can happen. I don't care if it's the FBI or Hillary's emails or whatever, and nobody goes to jail. I do lose confidence in the system, but watch this. I can't let that news dominate my head, or I will get depressed. I want the Bible to dominate my thinking. I'm not telling you to live in a closet and don't pay attention to the news. I'm just saying a little. When it comes to the news, you need a Brill Cream attitude. Just a little dab will do you. Okay? just a little dab. Hebrews chapter 10. Look at verse number 32. And I want you to keep your Bibles open here. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32. Ready? All this is centered around, you know, verse 35, and then, of course, when you get to verse 38 and 39 that talks about turning back. But look at verse 32. But call to remembrance the former days, in which after you were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions, So the former days was before you got saved, before you were illuminated. But praise God, the Holy Spirit convicted you of your sin, showed you that you were going to hell without Jesus Christ, and you placed your faith in Jesus because He died for your sins. Then when Jesus saved you, and the Bible became alive, you didn't care about the things of this world or what Congress was doing. It didn't matter how bad the public school system was. Do you remember? You were just glad you're saved. You're just glad you're saved. I remember, you know, it says here, in which after ye were illuminated. It's like the lights turned on. I remember a man got saved in our Sunday school class, and I went out soul winning with him, and this is all he would talk about. He'd say, life is so different now. He said, I'm seeing things I've never seen before. That's because God turned on the lights. He said, I've never seen this so wicked. He said, wow, is that wrong? He said, I was part of the New Age movement before I got saved. He said, what a wicked movement. He just would go on. He said, I've never seen this so bad. And wow, he said, and it's like he was enjoying life. But as far as he said, look what God did when He illuminated me, when He turned on the lights. Here it says, ye endured a great fight of afflictions. The greatest fight every Christian has to face when they get saved isn't the issues facing America or anything political in our country. Listen closely. Here it says you endured a great fight of afflictions. What's that mean? It was when you had to change the crowd you used to run with. You say, are you sure? Look at verse 33. Ready? Partly. So what is this great fight of afflictions? Partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly while you became companions of them that were so used. I used to be a part of the crowd that laughed at Bible believers. I used to laugh at King James Bible believers. I used to laugh at Christians that went to church. But when I got saved, I became their companions. And I changed crowds. And I joined those that I used to laugh at. That's what it's talking about, verse 33. It says, you used to make them a gazing stock. Ha! We're going to Super Bowl tonight. Ha ha! What are you going to do? Go to church. Now, verse 33 says, when I got saved, the greatest fight of my Christianity was transferring crowds. And those I used to laugh at, I'm now a part of. When I see somebody preaching on a street corner, holding up a sign that says, Jesus saves, or if you don't believe hell, you better be right, or inviting people to church, I always say, that's my crowd. People will drive by, oh, fanatic, nut job. I'll go, that's my crowd. That's who I stand with. And the great fight of afflictions was when I left that crowd because it was a pull. It's a hard pull. And the Bible says it's a great fight. It's hard to change crowds, but it's a fight every Christian has to make. And you're only a successful Christian as you change. I know some that only go halfway. And when they're with this crowd, they act this way. And when they're with this crowd, they act this way. They're weak and their confidence is low. God says, get in the fight and make the transfer. Make the transfer. That's verse 33. You see, when you get saved, God, who is light, I've told you, illuminates you and shows you things eternal. And because your love for your family and friends, you don't want them to go to hell. Then you know that there's a people you have to quit spending time with because of how they act and how they talk. I can't run with them anymore. I can't laugh at those jokes anymore because it makes me feel dirty. You understand? I need to change. I've got the Holy Spirit pulling me. As I read my Bible, I'm learning I've got to make the transfer. I've got to make the transfer. Listen close. As I read verses like Proverbs 13:20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Proverbs 24:1, be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. Proverbs 23:17, let not thy heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Listen closely. James 4:4 says, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Listen, whosoever will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. If I wanted to get close to the one that saved me, I had to leave this crowd. I can't stay here And I've got a great fight of afflictions, verse 33, to where I need to become their companions now. This is the crowd I run with. This is the crowd I spend time with. This is the crowd I want to be with. I'll help that crowd, but I can't run with that crowd. Do you understand? As I read the Bible, as church becomes more important, you become companion of those that you used to make fun of. It hurts to separate from them, and as they separate from you, but it doesn't outweigh the joy of being saved and on your way to heaven. They couldn't give you joy, and the old crowd couldn't forgive your sins. And by the way, this is a great fight of affliction, transferring the crowd I used to run with to the crowd I run with now. But listen closely, it's not like when a Muslim gets saved. You know these Amish people that ride up and down our streets in their buggies? It's not like when they get saved. It's free for them just like it is for us. But when they get saved, they can no longer talk to their family. They lose their home. They lose everything. For them, we think it's great for us, right? We think, boy, I look back on my transfer of the wrong crowd when I went from the crowd I used to run with to this crowd, and I think, praise God, God helped me. But it's nothing like when an Amish person gets saved. It's nothing like when a Muslim gets saved. Over in Iran, if you doubt it, it's illegal to be a Christian over there. When they get saved, they lose everything. I didn't lose everything when I got saved. I lost the crowd I used to run with. And when I look at what Christianity costs other people, you know what? God's been good to me. And I thank the Lord for where He's brought me from. But I don't have the fight that others have. I have a friend, his name's Albert Schrock. He's now started his 6th church out of his church in Dodge City, Kansas. But since he got saved over 30 years ago, all 8 of his brothers and sisters, he was saved as an Amish person. He's not been allowed to talk to any of his family. Every time he tries, his mother shields him just like this. Won't let him touch him, shake their hand, hug him, nothing. When he got saved, it cost everything. You understand? You start seeing as a Christian, when you get saved, how temporal this world is. And you learn how powerful God is. You start seeing as you read the Bible, you learn how powerful God's Word is and how certain His promises are. Your confidence this morning, God says, don't cast it away, don't lose it. Your confidence remains constant if you'll keep your confidence in the Lord and His Word. And can I just tell you this morning, the Lord and His Word. The only thing you know that's going to be tomorrow is the Lord and His Word. You say, well, my family. Families change. The only thing that you know is in tomorrow that will be there tomorrow is the Lord and His Word. You can have confidence. Don't cast away your confidence in the only thing that will be there tomorrow that you know will be there. If you've been saved for any length of time, you've watched Christians lose confidence and then finally quit. And that in itself is heartbreaking. My confidence is not in man. My confidence is in the Lord. The two men that I watched read their Bible and pray every morning, and is the reason I got saved, by watching them do their Bible study for 2 weeks. And then they invited me to their Bible study. And they gave me a Bible. And I got saved. Those two men aren't in church anymore. Two men, you don't think that bothered me? And as you are saved and in church, you see people lose their confidence in God's Word. And those who used to stand, you watch them stop standing. God says, cast not away your confidence. If my confidence is in the stupid UN or nations like North Korea and everything is fine in my life as long as we don't go to war with them, if that was where my confidence was, I would have lost confidence a long time ago. Don't lose your confidence where you stop testifying of Jesus Christ. The world isn't ashamed of Satan. The cuss words they wear on their shirts and the filth they wear on their shirts and the naked pictures they wear on their shirts, they're glad to testify of the filth and sin. I would hate for somebody to be more confident in the world and they're going to hell than I could be in the Bible. Christian, don't lose your confidence. You can give out a gospel tract. You can hold your Bible. Look, if they're wearing shirts that say, God's dead and kill God and all this filth, shouldn't I be able to wear a tie that says, amen, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength? How about I want a tie that says, I serve a great God. Have you seen Russell Anderson's cuffs on his shirt, on his sleeve? When he gets ready to sign a check, his cuff, I fold mine up, but his cuffs are out. He's got, I serve a great God, embroidered on every one of his shirts. And it's not so he can read it. It's facing that way. I think that is awesome. Shouldn't my confidence be in God more than the world is in their filth and their pride and their degradation and their hatred for God? Don't lose your confidence. Christians should be confident enough to know that knocking on doors and giving out gospel tracts and going soul winning, it's still a good thing to do. It's worth the effort it takes to witness. Look, and it's not that Christians are against it. It's just as their confidence starts to drop and they lose confidence, then they start wondering if it's worth it. Christian, can I just tell you this morning, don't cast away your confidence. God's word is still the greatest power on the face of the earth, and the gospel is still the power of God unto salvation. When Christians lack confidence, they start changing, and then they start adapting to the world. Their music starts to change, and their clothing starts to change, and their priorities start to change. Don't lose your confidence. You say, do you know who's playing in the Super Bowl tonight? All you got to do is just go down to the Wawa and watch people go in. You got some dressed, patriot everything, patriot in their hair, patriot shaved in the back of their head, and it's obviously Patriots and Eagles. You say, how'd you know that? Did you read the paper? No, I went to Wawa. Then you got one guy walking in, Eagles shirt, Eagles pants, Eagle shoes, Eagle hat. And then when you give him a gospel tract, hey, I'd like to invite you to church. Oh, fanatic. Really? Fanatic? You got Eagles all over you and I'm a fanatic? What in the world? Christian, don't lose your confidence. Why should their confidence in something temporary exceed my confidence in the Word of God that's eternal and true? Don't lose your confidence. Don't cast away your confidence. When a Christian starts losing his confidence, that's when earth becomes more real than heaven. That's when our house we live in down here starts becoming more important than the mansion Jesus is preparing for me. When a Christian starts losing his confidence now, they put their whole life in their bank account and temporal things, and there's no emphasis on spiritual things. Sporting events are popular because America is away from God. But I would never trade church for a sporting event. Never. Never. The world's going to always pressure you to get the latest technology. And when you get tired of the world's pressure, then you start going, ugh, I'm tired of the fight. Christian, don't get tired of the fight. Look at verse number 34. Ready? Watch this. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Look, knowing, that's confidence. I know that when I go soul winning, I'm setting it on ahead. When I tithe, I'm sending it on ahead. Whatever I give to missions, I'm sending it on ahead. It is still worth it. I'm not living for this world. I got to live here for about 70 years. I need to try to win as many people as I can to Christ. And I need to do something eternal. But I'm not here for a long time. I'm supposed to be living for eternity, Christian. Knowing that we have a good inheritance that endures forever in heaven. That's how you keep your confidence. Now verse 35, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. I've told you this morning, I hate how bold the world is about their filth. And I don't want to get into too much of it because it's disturbing to me. But to watch those abortion protesters. When I grew up in the 70s and abortion became legal with Roe versus Wade, I think in 72, and they started murdering babies, it was vile enough. But nobody talked like these people protesting. They were interviewing ladies, females, people of the woman gender. And the stuff that was coming out of their mouth, things like, I'm glad I killed my baby. And it was person after person. That's in this protest, in this abortion protest, whatever they're doing. I've never heard talk like that. It was disturbing to me. They're so proud about their filth and their wrong. And it's like, we know what we're doing's wrong, and we don't care. And it's getting stronger. People dressing up like body parts? Are you kidding me? The vileness of our society, it's getting worse. You wouldn't have thought of doing that in the 70s. I mean, it was bad enough to have hippies. You know what I mean? Guys with long hairs that stunk that hadn't taken a shower in 3 or 4 weeks. Smoking dope. We thought, ooh, that's bad. Oh, we wish it was that bad now. It's a lot viler. Young people are living a life now of fantasy and fame and fortune. American Idol, America's Got Talent, rock and roll and rap stars, and the filthy celebrities of Hollywood. It's just emboldened them. I'll never forget talking to those two young people, 21-year-old and a 23-year-old, and showing them the gospel. And he said, you got 5 minutes. Okay, I'll take my 5 minutes then. I'll show you about hell. But I was like, wow, are you bold about going to hell? I don't remember meeting people like that earlier. I know they've been around, but I haven't met them. Christian, this morning, God says in verse 35, cast not away. Don't lose your confidence. Look at verse 36. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. The world's pressure is always going to be to quit living for God and loving Jesus. Okay? It is a waste of time. But Christian, can I tell you something? The word patience means suffering or enduring pain with calmness and composure. Long-suffering. Patience is long-suffering when provoked. Forbearance with others' faults and limitations. It is going to wear on us. But listen, 1 Corinthians 15:58 says this morning, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain. Can I just tell you this morning, Christian, don't lose your confidence. Stay faithful. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We're tempted to lose our intensity and to go with the flow, but God tells us, be faithful. Faithful to God's word. Because it's worth to live for God, and it's still worth it to serve the Lord. Don't cast away your confidence. God rewards Christians at the judgment seat of Christ. Not now, because some works aren't done. How come God doesn't reward you right now for coming to church? Yeah, there's some blessings that we have, but I'm not supposed to be living for now. The judgment seat of Christ is going to reward. There's some works, there's some tracts that aren't done being read yet. There's some tracts that you've passed out that haven't been read yet. At the judgment seat of Christ, that's when we all get paid for our works. That's how come God doesn't pay all of us right now everything. Well, where's the big blessing? There's not big blessings right now. There's good blessings. There's wonderful things, but we haven't found it all out yet. We're not at the judgment seat of Christ yet. You need patience. Why? So that you don't cast away your confidence. Listen to this. The person that led you to the Lord will get rewards for the people you lead to the Lord. Right? That's how come that you don't get the rewards yet, but you will. Look at your Bible, verse 37. For yet a little while, watch this, what's supposed to help you keep your confidence? For yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. He that shall come will come. It's going to happen. The rapture is going to take place before the tribulation. When you lose your confidence, you get more concerned with the things of this world than in your blessed hope, which is the rapture. 2 Timothy 4:8 tells us that there's a crown for those that love is appearing. 1 John 3:1-3 tells us that the rapture is a purifying hope. It helps you. We need to get back to listening to preaching instead of conservative talk radio. I like conservative talk radio, but I'd rather listen to preaching. Amen? Look, people call Laura Schlesinger and Sean Hannity and all of that because they don't go to church anymore. Because they don't hear preaching, they got to have somebody tell them they're wrong. So they'll call the conservative talk show hosts. Getting an argument there, but they don't go to church anymore. Christian, don't lose your confidence. Don't lose your confidence. He that shall come will come. Look at verse 38. Ready? Now the just shall live by faith. But then watch this. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Why would a Christian quit? Because you lose your confidence. Why would you draw back into the crowd that God saved you out of? Because you lost your confidence. Don't lose your confidence. Your confidence where? In this book. Don't draw back. The things Christians get out of church over is goofy now. I've heard people leaving church because, how come you're out of church? I don't go to church anymore. Pastor didn't shake my hand. Really? Really? Man, the way you're acting, I thought somebody tore up a Bible on the platform or something. Oh no, he just didn't shake my hand. How about this one? How come you don't go to church anymore? Someone sat in my pew. Are you kidding me? You quit church over that. How come you don't go to church anymore? Someone parked in my parking space. I've been parking there for 20 years. You're upset over that. It's amazing what people leave church over. Nobody leaves because of a doctrinal issue. They leave because they had a conflict with somebody and it's worth leaving church instead of getting it right. That's sad. It's amazing what people leave churches over nowadays. I heard this. One more and then I'll move on. How come you're not going to church anymore? I don't like the lighting. I said, could you explain that to me? Yeah, they changed the light bulbs. So you don't go to church anymore. But yeah, I've heard that. I hear a lot of things as a pastor. Most reasons people quit church are selfish reasons and because of bitterness. Christian, this morning, if you lose your confidence, all you do is exist then as a Christian, and you're one step away from quitting. Don't lose your confidence. If you lose your confidence and quit, look, why does it say, my soul shall have no pleasure in him? Because quitting scares me. Every time I knock on a door and I'll invite somebody to church, hey, I'm Pastor Gospelite Baptist Church, love to invite you to church, and I used to go to church. Then I've heard this about 3 times since I've been saved. Hey, I'd like to invite you to church. Oh, I was a pastor. You were a pastor? Yeah, I don't go to church anymore. That sends chills down my spine. They quit. What keeps... I'm just as susceptible. I'm not super Christian. I'm not super nothing. If they quit, I could quit. That's how come my... If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. What's it talking about? It talks about when I see Christians quit and lose their confidence, it scares me. And I get scared because I don't want to quit. I want to die faithful. I want to die I want the rapture to happen and God to come and find me serving the Lord. I don't want to be someone who used to go to church and doesn't go to church anymore. I don't want to be somebody that used to believe the Bible and now I don't believe it anymore. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. What's it talking about? You get labeled? No. You scare me. You scare me. I don't want to lose my confidence because of someone who did and draw back into perdition, into the life that they were saved from. Look at that last verse, verse 39. Don't cast away your confidence, but we are not of them who draw back unto perdition. Perdition's another word for hell, okay, in your Bible. But of them that believe to the saving of the soul. God still uses, praise the Lord, saved sinners to boldly and politely speak His word to other sinners to get them saved. God's word is still true. Jesus Christ is still coming. God's blessing is still on old-time preaching and good gospel singing, not some rock and roll and hip-hop filth. I love our church. But listen, whether we grow or don't grow doesn't change what we're supposed to do. It's fun to grow. But growing in a church, it always, you know, here we are. We got a coast over here, and we got a coast to the east and to the west, right? We're a peninsula, right? We got beaches on both sides. Have you noticed church growth is like the waves? It comes in and it goes out. It comes in and it goes out. And every time it goes out, you can't get discouraged. Don't lose your confidence. Don't lose your confidence. Win the lost. Glorify God. Keep making disciples. My mission is the same as so is yours. The only thing that would keep God from working in your heart is if you lose confidence in His Word. The only thing that would keep God from working in our community is if Christians lose hope. Can we wrap up with this? Take your Bible and go to Romans 15:13, and we'll close with this. Romans 15:13, right after the book of Acts. Romans 15, and look at verse number 13. Romans 15, verse 13. Ready? Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Do you know how you abound in hope and confidence and faith? You abound when you yield to the Holy Spirit. And this morning, if your confidence is down, could I just encourage you, yield to the Holy Spirit and let God help your hope abound, your confidence, your faith. Christian, the name of the sermon is, don't lose or don't cast away your confidence. Don't cast it away. We're right. Look, they're the weirdos. Do you understand? The Eagles guy, he's the weirdo. We're the ones that are normal. Do you understand? The ones that have their faces half painted, you know, with the Patriots colors. They're the weirdos. Amen? We're the normal ones. Don't lose your confidence. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your...